We're a very relatable radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show. Before I get to the reaction to the Pro Football Focus Top 100 list, or Top 101 list, excuse me, you can't forget about that last player. We're going to talk a little parallel parking, and we're also going to talk about coffee. Now, I saw this video yesterday. TMZ had it out. And the headline was something along the lines of a video. TMZ Sports obtained show Shohei Ohtani isn't the world's greatest parallel parker. So when you see that, you expect it to be horrendous. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say it's good, but I've seen a lot worse. So he's in a parking lot. I guess he's going to like a restaurant or, you know, maybe some appearance. And there's a spot dedicated for him. Really, no cars behind him that are parked. And he just starts to turn, and he's too far from the curb. And there's another car that comes by. I don't think they're ever close to getting into an accident, but it was like a little bit dicey. And then he just turns way too wide to start. He's backing up, and then all he had to do once he was too far from the curb and he had so much space was just cut all the way in, get closer to the curb, which he does, and then you just got to back it up. But when you're backing it up, I think he needed to turn the wheel to the right, and it would have been better, except he turned it all the way to the right and then tried to get himself adjacent to the curb before he just realized, okay, all I have to do is just do a little hard shoot to the left, straighten this out, and then you back it up. It's like Happy Gilmore. Just tap it in, Happy. All you had to do there, Shohei Ohtani, was just back it up. That's all you had to do. And that's the thing. If there was another car behind him and then a car in front of him and he's sandwiched in between, that's a tough parallel parking job. But in this case, there's no car behind him. So you could just back it up the whole way, then cut in, and you're there. So I thought for what the headline was, this was going to be the worst parallel parking job in the world. I'm not saying it's good, but it's not the worst one I've ever seen. Stu, are you a good parallel parker?
I think decent. I spent a lot of years working here, driving in and parallel parking like 5 days a week. So I had a lot of reps. Now, at first, I was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I feel like I got the hang of it.
If you have a car that it basically does it for you now, if you have one of those
backup cams?
Yeah, backup cams. Thank you. It's pretty tough to mess up. Now, the one confusing part about the backup cam is sometimes they beep, right? If you're getting too close to the curb or if there's a car behind you, you get like beep, 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 beep. And sometimes it beeps way too prematurely. And just mentally, if you're backing up using the cam and you hear the beep, it's like, oh, I got to stop a little bit. But I don't have, you know, I don't have a car right now because I live in the city. I don't need one. And whenever I need a car, I just rent one. But I usually do not have the backup cam. But when I've been in cars with the backup cam, it makes it a lot easier. So I would say that I'm a good parallel parker. Stu, you're saying you're okay?
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Samter, how are you at in parallel parking?
I'm pretty good. I had a stick shift when I was younger.
And you had a stick shift?
Yeah, wow. So you have to like get really comfortable
sports
with the car.
Sports car, Samter. Vroom, vroom.
So you have to get really comfortable, especially like on a hill. So I got pretty good.
What are you bad at, Samter?
I'm bad at a lot of things. Here's the thing. So I always call myself jack of all trades, master of none. I'm good at basically everything. I'm not great at anything. I'm not terrible at anything. I'm not great at anything. I'm just like good at most things.
I feel like whenever I ask you, like, so are you good at it? It's always like, yeah, I'm the best.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not the best, but I'm a pretty good parallel parker. And like Stu, I've lived in the city for a long time. I used to park on the street, do alternate side parking.
Sure.
You have to get good.
Yeah. Did you pass your driver's test in the first time?
Come on. Of course. Who didn't?
Would you admit it if you didn't?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Stu, did you pass your driver's test?
I think I've brought this up before. I did, but I probably shouldn't have because I did mess up the parallel parking on the driver's test.
My first driver's test, I had to take it twice. The first time, did the parallel parking, immaculate, right? They took me on the highway. I remember you had to like merge lanes, immaculate, like no problem. The three-point turn or the K-turn, whatever it is, 10 out of 10. I'm driving back. And it's in a lot, like, you know, where the DMV is. And there's a bus parked. So I get up to a stop sign, make the full stop. You know, not what you do now. Where it's like a half stop and then you continue to go. I do the full stop, right? 10-2, hands on the wheel. Like, this is the most proper Zach Gelb driving ever. And the bus driver, I make eye contact with the bus driver. I stop, I look left, look right, right? You have to be overcautious here because you're trying to get the driver's license. You look left and right again. And I see the bus driver is waving me to go. And I go. And the old hag that was doing the scoring goes, that's an automatic fail. Goes, you can't go. You have to let the bus go. I'm like, but the bus driver. I start arguing. Me arguing, right? The bus driver was giving me the wave. You didn't see it? Doesn't matter. And I failed. Flunked me. Now, the second time I went back.
That's reasonable, though. That's not your fault.
Honestly, I don't like, I would tell you if I messed something up. The second time I went back, and I was nervous, right? Because the first time I thought I should have passed. The second time I'm like, I want to get my license. You have to wait like a few more months, which is obnoxious, right? All your other friends are getting the license and everything. And the second time I'm nervous because I'm like, I don't want to fail again. I'm going to have to wait a few more months. And then, you know, you go through the whole school year basically without a license. Because that was like a big thing, right? When you got into high school and you eventually got your license, you could drive to school, do all that stuff and awesome. And I should have failed the second time. The second time, I did not parallel park good. They let me do it again, and then I ended up finding a way to back it up correctly. But driving back, I thought I failed. And then the lady goes, oh, you passed. And I go, wait, the first time I should have passed. The second time I shouldn't have, but I passed the second time. So, you know, I'm a good driver. You know, usually, like, if there's a road trip, my friends, they're like, we want Zach driving. But when it comes to parallel parking, early on, I was a little hit or miss. But now, like, you know, after living in the city and having a car at times when I lived in the city, you got to learn how to parallel park, especially in Philly, too. When I lived in Philly, I had a car all through Philly. That's like survival of the fittest, because any road I've been on, there's no road worse than the Philadelphia roads. I got two potholes. Never got a pothole in my life. I got two potholes once on a Monday, the next time on a Sunday after getting it fixed in between. The roads in Philly are absolutely terrible. But anyway, now I'll get to the quick coffee story. I get the same coffee, Stew, every day. You a cold brew guy or you a hot coffee? Are you even a coffee guy?
So I recently have kind of dropped caffeine.
Completely?
Yes.
Cold turkey?
Yes.
How you doing?
Great. I feel fine.
How long ago?
Like a month ago.
Was there a reason for it? You just were tired of caffeine?
I feel like I was just overdoing it.
Okay.
Like two or three cups sometimes.
So I will say, you do look a little extra sleepy these days.
I feel fine, though. It was the first couple days. It was like a bad headache and fatigue.
So
but
I used to not drink coffee at all. And people are like, how are you so energetic? And I go, natural energy. Of course. You know who I am. I'm Zach Mother Bleeping Gelb. Then when I started to do the weekend overnights here, that's when I started drinking coffee. And once I started drinking coffee, I got addicted to it. At first, I did hot coffee. And then I realized I just love cold brew. Like, I'm cold brew 365.
Me too. When I did drink it, I'm cold coffee like 99.5%.
Samter, are you a coffee? You're definitely a coffee guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so cliche. I'm one of those people who you can't talk to me in the morning until I have my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but I'm not a cold brew guy, but I'm an iced coffee guy.
You are. Do you put any milk or sugar in it?
Well, I've gotten into lattes a lot. So we got like one of those espresso
latte
machines.
Larry.
Yeah, so I have like an espresso machine. I make a double espresso, pour some oat milk in there, a little bit of brown sugar creamer, and that's my jam.
Did you put anything in your coffee still?
Yeah, a little sugar and a little milk or cream or whole milk or almond milk. That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
So a great inspiration of mine, Mike the Situation, told me he doesn't do milk or sugar in his coffee, and he only ends up... Oh, now my Siri's going off there. Because I guess I said Mike the Situation, so my Siri goes off. I don't know why. That's weird. That's been happening more and more. So anyway, I don't put anything in my coffee. I'm cold brew, 365 days out of the year. Doesn't matter what the temperature is. Just straight black coffee. So today, I ordered from Starbucks my perfect protein bar, and I wanted an everything bagel today. So I got that from Starbucks with the black cold brew. So I walk in, and I usually do mobile order. Why are you shaking your head, Samther?
I mean, you live in the city with the greatest bagels in the world. You're getting a bagel from Starbucks? I expect
just,
more from you.
It was moving and grooving, and it's a small bagel. I didn't need a big doughy
bagel.
It's
like ordering Domino's pizza when you're in the city. Come on.
I just, you know what? You don't need to go to the Four Seasons every time you go to a hotel. I just want a little snack. That was it.
A Subway cheesesteak in Philly. Come on.
That was it. That's all I was doing. You know what? The Subway cheesesteak? Not that bad, actually.
Yeah, not when you're in Philly.
Oh, you know what? Jersey Mike's. I've had it in the train station in Philadelphia. Got a cheesesteak there when I was on the go. Yeah, that's usually something I would trash. It was delicious. It was sensational.
You just do a hard time about Pat and Geno's, and you're going Subway?
That's different. You know, if I'm going out of my way to get the cheesesteak, Pat's and Geno's going out of the way. Yeah, you should be going to Mama's. You should be going to Angela's. You should be going to D'Alessandro's. You should be going to John's Roast Pork. You should be going to Chubby's, right? That's where you should be going. So anyway, I get out of the gym. I do my mobile order. And they were like late with the order. And it wasn't the normal people there today. You know, I know the people in there. The barista's unbelievable. And I see like in a large cold brew cup, they put like a quarter amount of coffee. And then I saw the gal behind the counter walk up to like the water that they have there and pour a ton of water and then throw ice in it. And I go, what was that? Like I tried to play dumb. I go, what was that you just put it? She goes, oh, we dilute our cold brew. And she goes, this was like straight from there and it's not from the normal thing. So we had to put some water in it so it tastes the same. I took one sip. It was water. So I go like, can you remake it and not put the water in it? And she goes, oh, maybe it was diluted and I just didn't know. So it's a new person. And I know what the coffee tastes like because I have it all the time. But even someone was giving me like the side eye because they saw the same thing. And they're like, you should check out that coffee because I don't think it's going to be that good. And then they made me a new cup and it was the regular one. But that's how I become a coffee snob now. I could tell when they're trying to dilute the coffee. But I was not happy with that today. I was nice. I wasn't yelling. I just said, hey, I'd prefer if you remake it. And they remade it and it was good. But, yeah, I thought I was just basically drinking water with, like, a shot of coffee.
There's nothing worse. And had you not seen it, you probably would have walked out of the Starbucks.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
And not noticed it until you were two blocks down the street.
Usually, so, like, my apartment's here, and then the Starbucks is here. So it's literally a half block across the street. Not even. So usually I grab the coffee, and I go back to my apartment, and then sit down and sip it and eat my protein bar. That's what I usually do. But since I just saw there was, like, a little mishap, I'm like, oh, I'll take a sip today. And I took a sip. I go, what is this, high-quality H2O? So those are my parallel parking and my coffee stores.
Water sucks. It really, really sucks.
All righty. Do you want to do, like, NFL music here for this list? So, Stu, whenever you got the music, fire it up and fire away. As Pro Football Focus has their top 101 list for this past season. Now, I always say this about Pro Football Focus. I like analytics. I don't live and die by analytics. Sometimes I watch something and I then see the rankings of it and Pro Football Focus tries to tell me someone was terrible with their ranking when they were good. And then there's other moments where I've watched someone where someone's been bad and then Pro Football Focus tells me, oh, well, they rated great. So I did not look at this. I said, Samter, I saw this article, go through it, pull out a few like things that stood out to you and then ask me a few questions about it. And that's what we'll do right now.
So the first one that stood out to me was Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry.
Hold on.
Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry. Who do you think had the better year this year?
Saquon Barkley.
Okay. Derrick Henry was ranked 5th. Saquon was ranked 10th. So for next year, who would you rather have, Saquon or Derrick Henry?
For next year.
For next year. Not for the rest of their careers. For next year.
I know this is going to sound hypocritical because I just told you Saquon Barkley had the better year, but I'd rather have Derrick Henry. I think Derrick Henry is more consistent, where when you look at Saquon Barkley, he was able to be healthy this year and other years he gets hurt. And I think that, right, he's the most explosive back in football, but you add the size with Derrick Henry and how he just bulldozes through people. He had a magnificent year. I'm not taking anything away from what Derrick Henry did or Saquon Barkley, but in terms of the consistency, I do think that it's more likely that Derrick Henry replicates what he did last year compared to Saquon Barkley.
Now, number one on the list was Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen.
Wait, number one on the entire list was Lamar?
On the entire list was Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Yeah, unbelievable Josh Allen, statistical season.
Right. Josh Allen won the MVP. He was sixth. Joe Burrow was fourth ahead of Josh Allen. So would you take Joe Burrow, not just this year, would you take Joe Burrow over Josh Allen on your current list of NFL quarterbacks?
So I understand why Joe Burrow, and whatever their algorithm is ranked higher than Josh Allen, because Joe Burrow led the league in passing yards and also passing touchdowns. I, though, thought that Josh Allen was more valuable to his team than Joe Burrow. Now, Joe Burrow didn't have a defense. He also had the player in the league that had the most sacks in the league in Trey Hendrickson, and he had the number one wide receiver in football. I love Joe Burrow. I love Josh Allen. But for next year, I'd rather have Josh Allen, because just like Derrick Henry, I think there's more consistency. Josh Allen doesn't miss many games. And as much as I love Joe Burrow, and I think Joe Burrow is a winner, Joe Burrow's teams get off to slow starts, and he's now had two season-ending injuries, too. So there's an injury concern. I think the upside of Burrow may be greater, but I know what I'm getting from Josh Allen, and I do think Josh Allen right now, in my opinion, is the second-best quarterback in football.
Now, Pat Surtain won the Defensive Player of the Year, but he was the fifth defensive player on this list, 12th
really?
Overall, behind Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Chris Jones, and Zach Bond. So do you think that's too low for Surtain?
You know what? I have no problem with him winning Defensive Player of the Year, but if you ask me, heading into next season, would I rather have Myles Garrett or Pat Surtain? I think Surtain's the best defensive back in football, but Myles Garrett's position is more important. The other, Micah Parsons, right? Who is it?
T.J. Watt, Chris Jones, and Zach Bond.
I would rather have T.J. Watt over Pat Surtain. Chris Jones is so clutch. But I think Pat Surtain is the better football player. And then Zach Bond, an incredible season this year. Defensive Player of the Year finalist. One of the best stories in football this year, breakout star. Do I think he can replicate it? Yes, but if he leaves Philadelphia, let's see what happens. So I would take Surtain over Zach Bond. So it's the two big boy pass rushers there in Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt.
Another odd one on the running back position, two explosive young backs. Bijan Robinson was 15th. Jahmyr Gibbs was 36th. Do you think Bijan is that much better than Jahmyr Gibbs or even better at all?
Bijan Robinson's really damn good. And Bijan Robinson is not on as good of a team as Jahmyr Gibbs is. But I don't think the gap should be that far away. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs has to be a top five running back in the NFL. And he's a dual threat running back as well. So, no, I don't think the gap should be that big.
Now, here are the five top-ranked rookies. Jaden Daniels was 20th. Jared Verse, 27th. Brock Bowers, 40th. Cooper DeJean, 45th. And Malik Nabers, 59th. Those are the top five rookies on the list.
Wait, give those to me one more time.
Daniels, 20th. Verse, 27. Bowers, 40. DeJean, 45. Nabers, 59.
Okay.
How would you rank these five rookies? Daniels, Verse, Bowers, Cooper DeJean, and Malik Nabers.
No Quinyon Mitchell on that list, which is interesting.
I think Mitchell was lower on. I kind of stopped looking after Nabers. I just wanted the top five.
So you give me Bowers, you give me Verse, and DeJean,
Nabers,
Jaden Daniels,
yep,
and Nabers. Okay. Jaden 1, quarterback. 2, I would actually go Brock Bowers. 3, the guy that I picked to win Defensive Rookie of the Year in Jared Verse. I would take, you know what? I got to go Malik Nabers 3rd because it's an offensive league. And also he had no quarterback this year. Both Bowers and Nabers had no quarterback. And look at the stats. So I go Jaden Daniels 1, Brock Bowers 2, Malik Nabers 3, Jared Verse 4, and then a guy that was just on the show this past week, Cooper DeJean, in a 5th.
Now, obviously, Pat Surtain has become the best corner in the NFL, but for a little bit, we thought Sauce Gardner might be the guy. He was 90.
You did. I didn't.
Well, a lot of people were talking about Sauce as being the guy.
I was always more Surtain over Sauce Gardner, but Sauce is in the top corner conversation.
Sure, he was in the conversation. Well, on this list, he's 99th. Derek Stingley Jr., who was drafted after him, or right before him in the draft, was 43rd. So it seems like Stingley has surpassed Sauce. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think Derek Stingley had the better season. Sauce Gardner did a terrible job tackling this past year. I still think he's... It was Surtain who was on with us. Pat Surtain, who said the three best corners in football. I forget the order, but he said it was... I believe he said him first, then Sauce second, and then Stingley third. But right now, based off the season that he just had, I think Stingley is better than Sauce. You know who I'm surprised, by the way? Didn't make the rookie list. Where was Brian Thomas Jr.?
He was there, but he was after Neighbors. I think he was in the 70s.
He was unbelievable this year. He had the third most receiving yards in football this past season. And also, right, at times Trevor Lawrence was at his best, and then Trevor Lawrence missed some games too. So I'm a little bit surprised that Brian Thomas Jr. wasn't higher up on that list. But to answer your question, I'd rather right now have Stingley over Sauce.
So I'm going to end with a couple quarterback questions here. Baker Mayfield was the seventh quarterback on this list. Where would you rank him among the top 15, top 10 in the NFL?
He's in the top 10.
Okay.
So number one, Mahomes still. Two, Josh Allen. Three, Lamar Jackson. Four, Joe Burrow. Five, Jalen Hurts. Six, Jaden Daniels. Seven, Matthew Stafford. And then I could go as early as eight for Baker Mayfield. I could put Baker Mayfield as early as eight. You know what? I put C.J. Stroud eight, Baker Mayfield ninth. So either eighth or ninth, I'd put Baker Mayfield.
Interestingly, Jalen Hurts was behind Baker. He was eighth as a quarterback, 91st overall on this list. Still not getting a lot of respect.
So that's the problem with PFF. Statistically, I could see why they do that. You know, Baker Mayfield had more turnovers, but he also had 41 passing touchdowns. Statistically, I could see why he gets dinged a little bit, because there was up and down moments for Jalen Hurts, but the facts are, when he got into the postseason, and we've seen now two times on the big stage, he outplayed the best quarterback in football. He outplayed the best quarterback in football in Patrick Mahomes.
I'll do one last one. You mentioned Mahomes. This is the last one. Mahomes was 39th on the list. The guy who we've considered the best quarterback in the NFL for years.
Well, he didn't have a good statistical season.
Sure, but 39th? He was behind Jaden Daniels and Justin Herbert.
Once again, though, this is based off stats.
I get
this
it.
This is based off analytics.
But so here's my question for you.
Yeah.
For the next 5 years, would you take Justin Herbert, Jaden Daniels, over Patrick Mahomes?
Absolutely not. Like, I love Jaden Daniels, and I was maybe his biggest supporter last year, and I think Justin Herbert's really good, but we're talking about Patrick freaking Mahomes. You just heard me in the last question when I said that I'd still take Mahomes as the best quarterback in football, because a bad year for Patrick Mahomes is basically having one loss in the regular season, because the one at the end of the year he wasn't playing, and then come playoff time you get embarrassed in the Super Bowl. And the Chiefs are going to wake up almost every year in the AFC Championship game. So, yeah, I understand that Mahomes' statistics weren't great the last 2 years, but he still, if you ask all 32 GMs in the NFL who's the number one pick of the draft, and we're redrafting everyone tomorrow, you're putting Mahomes in at number one. All right, he's Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We will do a news brief next.
We have breaking news on the Zach Gelb Show.
We do? Oh, yeah, that's right. Adam Schefter. The Jaguars are hiring James Gladstone. Who? As their new general manager. Stu, if you didn't see the breaking news before we came back from break, and I just, in an impromptu fashion, said, "Oh, I hear that the Jaguars are hiring James Gladstone," would you be able to tell me anything about this guy?
No, no shot.
He's the Rams director of college scouting. See, now this is what I like what we do in our industry. You will have people today that will have takes about James Gladstone. All right? I just went to CBSSports.com, and I wanted to see the general manager tracking. So this is a funny part. You look at the GMs that got hired this cycle. It's only four. Only four GMs that have been hired. Darren Mooji. I know he came from the Broncos because, right, he got introduced. Could I have told you anything about Darren Mooji until just knowing he became the Jets GM the other day? No, I could not. John, CBS, man. They didn't even spell his name right. It's Spytek, right?
Yeah, it's Spytek.
They spelled it John Spyek. S-P-Y-E-K. I guess the T was silent? Or they just elected not to include it? But it says the Raiders found their general managers. They are hiring Buccaneers assistant general manager. Oh, and they spelled it correctly. John Spytek to replace recently fired Tom Telesco. I knew nothing about John Spytek or Spytek until right his name surfaced. And I'm like, oh, the Tampa Bay connection, him and Brady. And he also did work for the Patriots, too. Mike Borgonzi was hired by the Tennessee Titans. I actually know that name before he got hired because he comes from Kansas City and people praise right outside of each who else has helped build the Kansas City Chiefs. And Mike Borgonzi's name has been mentioned. And now the Jacksonville Jaguars have hired James Gladstone as their new general manager. And most of us could tell you nothing about James Gladstone getting the GM job for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars, to me, are very interesting heading into this season because you had the disaster with ownership in Trent Baalke, and they ended up getting it right, but the process on how they got it right was so sloppy. You have Trevor Lawrence, who I think could still be good, but the last few years he's been banged up, and he has not been playing at the generational level or the franchise level that was expected out of him with all the hype and all the pomp and circumstances that was around him from Clemson. And you look at the rest of that team, sure, Brian Thomas Jr., tremendous rookie season. And then defensively, Josh Hines-Allen is good. I don't think he's an elite pass rusher, but he's good. And Trayvon Walker is someone that should have never been the number one overall pick. And he's had an up-and-down career so far in the NFL, but after what was a very discouraging rookie season, he's put back-to-back double-digit sack seasons, 10, 10.5, but I would rather have Aiden Hutchinson, if I'm just being honest. And oh yeah, by the way, the Jacksonville Jaguars do have a top-5 pick in the draft as they come in at number 5, and they're in a division where Indy has some talent, but I don't believe in the quarterback. Tennessee is so far away. And we'll see who they take with the number one overall pick. And the Houston Texans are the standard right now. And they got two good edge rushers. And Will Anderson Jr. is one of the better young edge rushers in the league. And then you also have Danielle Hunter, who's been in this league for so long. But offensively, we'll see what happens with the future of Stephon Diggs. Remember, they restructured his contract, so he'll be a free agent. Nico Collins is an underrated player in this league, and he is really damn good. And then you have Tank Dell coming off another injury. And Joe Mixon is getting up there, right? You know, had a really good season, but you know how quickly running backs can decline. Laramie Tunsil's still there, who's really good. And T.J. Stroud has come in the first 2 years in the NFL and has been better than advertised. He's been a good quarterback. But now it's like, okay, what direction are the Texans going in? Are they just going to be good and be what we've seen from the Texans, where it's like, all right, Saturday, wild card weekend, 4:30, and then some years you'll win that game, and then you'll tap out in the divisional round? Or can the Texans become a bona fide Super Bowl contender? That's what we're wondering. But until then, like without that unknown that the Texans are going to take that next step, if you're going to look for a team to usurp them in the division, the team that's best positioned to do so are the Jacksonville Jaguars. And what the Jaguars are going to do with that fifth pick becomes very intriguing because, like, who's running Jacksonville? It's Liam Cohen and Tony Boselli. And now you know that their GM is James Gladstone, you know, who no one, he could come into the studio and sit right down next to me. And I'd be like, who the heck is Santa bring? You bring some pizza? You know, like who are you? But that's just the difference. Like the coaches, it's rare that you get a coach hired in the NFL. And we're like, who the heck is that? You know, even when Dan Campbell got hired, the at least familiar, right? Dan Campbell played, you at least know who Dan Campbell is. The GMs and the behind-the-scenes guys, that's like, you have no damn clue who the heck they are. You have no clue who these guys are, for the most part. And the only reason why you know really any of them are is either you root for one of those teams or they've been in the running for the last few years. So what the Jaguars are going to do in the draft becomes really, really curious. And I'm really intrigued by it because I like right now, if I had to give you my pre-combine mock draft, right, just top five, I'd say number one overall is Cam Ward. I think Tennessee will take him. Two, it pains me to say because this is the second year in a row I'm going to miss out on the guy that I really want. Last year was Jaden Daniels. They got Drake May, ended up working out. This year I really want Abdul Carter. With the Browns trade rumors and Myles Garrett and all that and him wanting out, I would think they would then draft Abdul Carter too. the Giants, and I think take Shedeur Sanders in at three. I could see the Patriots passing on Travis Hunter, but I'll say Travis Hunter's four. And then the Jaguars in at five. It's like, okay, then who do you take there? Do you go Mason Graham? Do you go Tyler Warren? Do you go Will Johnson? Like, who is it? Do you take an offensive lineman, Campbell or Banks? But you know what? I think the furthest that Hunter could fall to is actually to the Jaguars at five. I think most of us expect him to go in the top four. But let's say if Tennessee takes Cam Ward, Abdul Carter goes two to the Browns, the Giants take a quarterback at three, and let's say the Patriots end up taking Will Campbell, then Travis Hunter is right there. But the Jaguars should be able to get either Mason Graham, Travis Hunter, or an offensive lineman. And if you get Mason Graham, hey, we know how important defensive linemen are. You saw Jalen Carter just wreck the entire offensive line for the Chiefs, and everyone did feast off that. Mason Graham has that ability to just take over a game, even if you don't see it on the stat sheet. He may have had the best individual effort we saw from a college football player this year in one game with that performance up against Ohio State. So the Jaguars, we now know their leadership committee moving forward. Shad Khan and Tony Khan, right? Get on the yacht. Liam Cohen really running the show. You got Tony Baselli too. And then Mr. Gladstone, Dr. Gladstone here. This guy's name, James Gladstone, I think his name was. That's the hire for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah, I already forgot it. All righty, we'll take a timeout. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, we'll do a little news brief update time first. Here's Zach. I'm having a big internal debate right now. Stu, I'm going to have you decide what I'm eating for dinner tonight.
Ooh.
I'm thinking about making some rice with some green beans and some onions and some chicken sausage. Or do rice, green beans, onions with shrimp. Or go get some burgers after the show and put some french fries in the air fryer.
I think the last option sounds the best.
Good. That's what I wanted you to say. So there
the
you
non
go.
The non fun healthy ones are good for other days.
Yeah,
not a Friday.
It's not like it's like disgusting. I am having like a burger, a little ketchup. Maybe I'll get a bun. You know, go crazy on a Friday night, and then end up putting some French fries in the air fryer. I love the air fryer.
The best.
I think it could be one of the great inventions of all time. The air fryer. Like if I'm doing, this is a summer topic. Mount Rushmore of inventions. Welcome in. It's the Zach Gelb Show, 855-212-4227. We'll give you huge opinions. Make sure you tweet me, at Zach Gelb. Top four appliances of all time. I would think that the air fryer has to be on there. The air fryer is great. And you know what's weird? I think there's a debate, and we could try this. Because Samter, right, well, up there in age compared to Stu and I. Like, you're the older guard here on the show.
You combine your ages. You don't equal my age.
You're not that old.
I'm old.
I'm 30. Stu's
yeah, you're not
what?
That old.
Stu's 33?
I'm 33.
33? Yeah. You ain't 60.
I'm 66. I got you doubled.
You may look like you're 66, but we know you're 66. Not 66. What are you, 49, right? 50's coming up for you.
I turned 45 in
three that's
weeks.
Right. That's right. You have a big birthday. What are you doing for the 45th, by the way? Anything big, or are you waiting until 50?
Yeah, something amazing. Going to sit on the couch and eat Chinese food and watch a movie and do absolutely nothing. It's going to be glorious.
Sounds everything, enjoying. That's yeah, how you know you're old, though.
That's exactly what my birthday is supposed to be.
So, anyway, what was that going to you now? I sidetracked myself here.
About how old
I am. The air fryer. The air fryer. So my parents are like anti-air fryer. You know, they still, and I go, you know, like the 15 minutes that you wait to preheat the oven, like there's some things ahead that don't fit in the air fryer. But like if you're just making like French fries or even like the burger, like you could air fry a burger now.
I've never done that.
Oh, it's good. It's good. Now, like, yeah, I'd prefer to go to a grill, but living in the city, you don't have a grill.
So you're air frying a burger like from a undone patty, or you're like you're reheating a already made burger?
No, like you have to make the patty.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Delicious.
Really?
Yeah, like sensational. If you don't have a grill, it's phenomenal. But like heating up pizza, put in the air fryer. You know, like whatever. I use the air fryer for everything. You know, I made chocolate chip cookies a week ago. That's the first time in a while I could remember using my oven. You know, even if you're making, you know what? If you like a frozen pizza, you could put in the oven. I wouldn't put in the air fryer because it's just so big, right? When you do a frozen, like one of those big circular frozen pizza pies. Or you get the Detroit frozen pizza from Costco, which is delicious. But anyway, my parents like don't understand the air fryer compared to the oven. I'm like, it takes you so much longer to cook something in the oven because of the preheat and all that. So if you could use the air fryer compared to the oven, I am team air fryer. So since you are the elder statesman here on the show, Samter, are you anti-air fryer or you pro-air fryer?
I've got one of those microwave toaster oven air
hybrids.
Fryer combo kind of things. It's like a 9-in-1.
And that's not like a traditional air fryer.
Yeah, so like we'll do some stuff. I'm not anti-air fryer, but I haven't adapted enough to it. But now hearing that you can make freaking burgers from scratch in an air fryer, I might have to become that guy because I have a grill. It's too damn cold to go outside and do it.
No. So you're not Mr. like shorts, t-shirt in the winter going outside and doing the grill?
I mean, in the snow and 20 degrees, no thank you.
All righty. The MLS game preview is sponsored by Lowe's. Members get more with My Lowe's Rewards. Don't wait. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. And now I'm going to do a soccer preview. Who wrote this, just wondering? Between you two soccer nuts.
That'd be me.
Okay. Lionel Messi and Inter Miami begin their season tomorrow as they host NYCFC. That's the New York City Football Club.
That's right.
Inter Miami finished last season with 74 points in the regular season, the most in the MLS. And Messi was tied for second for the most goals scored with 21. Didn't Messi like mess up his ankle or something? What was that? What tournament was that going on?
So that was the Copa America. That was like the North and South American national teams playing.
In the summer?
In the summer.
I had a fat ankle when that happened.
Yeah, it was bad.
They
won, though,
that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So yeah, I know a little soccer. I could dabble in soccer a little bit.
Yeah.
Samter introduced me to somebody at the Super Bowl. He's like a big wig with the World Cup. And I was like a fish out of water, if I'm just being. I was trying to keep up with this conversation. And I'm just like, you know, yeah, I love soccer. Yeah, USA, USA. I had no clue what was going on.
The World Cup is here in a year and a half. So we might as well, you know, get a little accustomed to it.
You know what? USA hockey, I'm all in. Soccer, we'll see if I have that country pride. We'll see. I think I should, but right now I'm all on hockey. Eventually, maybe we'll get there with the footy football, right? Is what they call it.
I mean, they actually use their feet in the game, unlike our football.
Alrighty, alrighty. Come on. Let's get to Auston Matthews. This was the play-by-play on his missed chance in overtime. He had three of them, so let's get to one of them, NHL Network Radio.
Matthews almost stripped Marner, but Gensel gets it anyway. Back to the point to Sanderson. Keeps it in. Jake Sanderson pumps it behind the net. Comes to Larkin. To Gensel. Oh, my God. Matthews had the tournament on his stick. Oh. Auston Matthews almost won it.
You know what? I forgot to even throw to the news brief. Hit the news brief intro. My bad, Stu.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So, if you heard Auston Matthews miss once, you could hear him miss again. Second cut of Auston Matthews getting denied again, NHL Network Radio.
And it comes to McKinnon. His pass is too far for Reinhart, and back come the U.S. Matthews denied again. Loose in front. I can't believe Jordan Binnington. Auston Matthews had another chance, and Binnington made another save.
And it was 2010 all over again. This time it wasn't Sidney Crosby, but this time it was Connor McDavid. Blah.
But he won 12 out of 14 in their opener, and he won that one and got a shot off. Centering pass, McDavid scores!
Boom!
McDavid wins it for Canada! And Jordan Binnington has done it again inside the TD Garden.
I'll tell you, Sean McDonough did a really good job last night. I think Wischusen should be doing those games. Nothing will beat Mike Doc Emrick. I actually texted Doc the other day. I said, I'm thinking about you. You know, I miss you for moments like this. We had a nice little conversation. Love me some Mike Doc Emrick. But I thought McDonough did a good job for the moment last night. And I saw the ratings, by the way. 9.3 million people watched last night for hockey. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's unbelievable. Now, I know a lot of you will then go away because you don't love hockey like I do, and we'll see you back for the Stanley Cup Final and then also for the Olympics next year. But please stay because it's a sport that should be appreciated more. Here is Connor McDavid on his game-winning goal in the Four Nations face-off final.
Just couldn't believe it, really. You know, just excited for our group, honestly. Everybody was so dug in. You know, starts you know, months and months and months ago, with management going out and picking the team, and the coaching staff coming together, and then obviously the players doing what we do.
And let's get to Brady Tkachuk on the loss to Canada.
This sucks. I thought this team deserved more. We had chances there to finish it off. This has been my favorite hockey memories, just playing for this team.
Yeah, you know, I love the passion for the players, and this is why hockey players are the best. Because, right, this is like an exhibition, right? They just made it up. I didn't think I was going to be this enamored with it as I was. But it helps on Saturday night where the U.S. beats Canada, and it's like, yeah, okay, the booing during our national anthem. Then the brawls, right? It was unbelievable. It's basically like you had the Hanson brothers on the ice, if we're being serious. And then the next thing you know, right, these two teams meet up again a few days later on Thursday. You had an epic game, a great game. It was awesome for the sport. Credit the NHL. As the NBA embarrassed themselves during All-Star Weekend, the NHL shined. And I get it. The NBA is more popular than the NHL. But it just shows you, when you have pride for your country, you come together, you compete, you just play because you love the game, and you come together as a team, it made for a pretty epic four nations, and it exceeded all expectations that I had. All righty. I did a terrible job managing the time there. That's on me. Unlike some athletes, when they mess up, they won't admit it. So I will tell you, I did a terrible job there. I usually do great managing the show, you know, squeeze it and everything. Did a terrible job there.
Well,
so,
we didn't have a lot of other cuts to get to.
Yeah, we only had about like 20 more on the list. So here's what we'll do. Because we only did hockey there. You know, we did that hockey. Coming up later, we'll play you some of the things we didn't get to, because there's a lot of football. On Travis Kelce's future, Jason Kelce at a casino. I know a little bit about that. Greg Cosell talking about who's the second best quarterback in this draft. Jeremy Fowler revealing the plans for the Vikings. Rodgers giving his thoughts on his next team. James Cook popping off. Tony Boselli talking. So we will do a football-only kind of sound segment later on in the final hour of the show, which will get underway in about 5 minutes, because we got to take a break right now. It is the Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, Stu's got some questions for me. Six of them, to be exact. We do the segment every Monday and Friday. It's called Onside Offside. We will get to a little Onside Offside when we return in 5 minutes.